Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Wandering Road Podcast. I'm your host Chris, alongside my co-host Dean. And buddy, you want to tell the people what we're talking about today? It's one of your favorite topics.
Yeah, so everybody's favorite stress topic nowadays, or depending on which side you're on, you know, either a boon or a bust for humanity, but artificial intelligence is back on the main stage. With companies like NVIDIA and a bunch of new ones that I honestly had never heard of before. I can't think of off the top of my head, but just everybody and their mother on the corporate side is getting into developing artificial intelligence. And the crazy thing is it's taking off so quickly. NVIDIA just announced their bottom line or whatever, their quarterly report, and they actually crushed it. And even after the monumental run up in the stock price, I think they went from like $200 a share less than a year ago. And after they announced it, it popped another 5%, and it's currently at like $7.25 per share or something. So AI is strange because it seems too good to be true. So we're kind of like here to talk about the pitfalls and dangers of it and how it kind of compares with other things in the past. And of course, we're also going to touch on conspiracy theory stuff, make it a little bit, you know, of our traditional spooky angle. So please don't tune out. It's not going to be all tech nerdiness. We'll talk about some creepy concepts and ideas that might come from AI in the near future.
Yeah, well, why don't we start with that, actually? Because I sent you a video of folks talking about this particular AI that does text to video. I think one of them is called Sora, and I think there might be a few more out there. And this whole thing, the whole gist of the video that people were talking about was that we're probably going to see an uptick of deepfakes. And that's something we talked about before. And you're like, you know, maybe 20 years in the future, that's something we won't be able, you'll have a difficult time discerning like what is fake and what is real. But I don't know if you saw the news, but I'll keep it as clean as possible. A couple weeks ago, I think it might have been before the Super Bowl, some person online used an AI to make an unsavory type of video of Taylor Swift, like in a very not safe for work type of position, and that caught headlines. And then you see people posting about Sora and how, I don't know if you've seen some of the Sora videos, some of them are creepy. There was like this dude, there was like, one of the examples was person sitting on the edge of a cliff or something reading a book. It was so smooth that it looked like a soap opera. Like, it was really hard to tell that this was an AI. Now, the AI has trouble generating certain things like windows, like backgrounds and stuff like that. But some of the examples you see, like, I think another example was a person walking in downtown Tokyo. Now, the person walking themselves looks crisp, but obviously you could tell in the background, you know, the wonky humans and some of the wonky pictures of the signs and stuff of downtown Tokyo with all the freaking million billboards and signs, all electronic and whatnot. Dude, that's freaking terrifying because that to me will take targeting people and bullying to a crazy level. An astronomical level, because there was this one 15-year-old girl, I think it was a few months ago, that she was being bullied and they used AI to put her in unsavory positions, you know, compromising positions, and she unalived herself over it. So even now with the Taylor Swift, with that poor girl that took her own life, we're seeing this deepfake shit. And you, Mr. AI enthusiast, what are your thoughts on this?
I will openly admit that I am on the pessimistic side of artificial intelligence for a lot of reasons. But, you know, obviously the ones you just said are a good start. But One thing I want to flip out there before I forget that you kind of sparked in my mind was this idea that artificial intelligence can trick people anywhere, anytime, to any depth of whatever topic or conversation or person you can dream of. And a lot of people are afraid of the offensive kind of threat from that. But I would think I would think it's just as equally concerning on the defensive side, because, and what I mean by that is, imagine the amount of scapegoating that is going to be able to happen. Imagine the situation, even if it's like 5, 10, 20 years from now, imagine that you can no longer have a certain type of video from a certain source admissible in court, because there's no way to prove definitively if that thing that was captured by the phone or something wasn't fabricated. You know, just think of a situation where someone captures somebody doing something illegal and devastating to somebody else, and that thing actually happened. Or let's say there's a politician who got caught like sleeping with a prostitute or doing drugs or saying something or doing something, right? As soon as that gets released, that person who is accused and maybe like, let's say hypothetically, they were accurately captured as doing something, they have an immediate capability to scapegoat themselves and say, that's not me, that's AI. I didn't do that. I was here. I was in this location. And then imagine they can create an AI video showing them at this other location, and they pay people off to cooperate. And then can you imagine the muddied waters that would happen in the legal system? That is dystopian, terrifying. Listen, if you're listening to this right now, this is a linchpin. This is a watershed moment in human history, because we've never, ever had anything close to this technological advancement before. And it's just absolutely insane to me that we're alive today to experience it. And I'm not this crazy of a conspiracy theorist, but the more I think about it, the stranger it becomes that all of this stuff exploded over just the last 20 years. And we've all been, you know, the people who have been alive, like, you know, our age group and whatnot, 20s and 30s and even 40s, like back to their youth, they remember the monumental explosion of the internet. Like literally, you and I remember the 90s when the internet started coming about, and like the modem, you know, like getting on AOL and stuff like that. That was brand new. And information spread rapidly, and there was a lot of stuff. I'm sure there was some disinformation and misinformation out there. But now we're at a point where seeing is not necessarily believing anymore. Whereas back then, you could like go to the sourcing, you can go to the originator or the person who put that stuff on the old internet, and you can get at least some kind of verification. But now, as you said, anybody with, you know, two hands and some understanding of the human language can type into an AI chatbot or an AI thing and just generate a video based off of the most crude writing. And here's something even crazier. You can like take the worst diction and writing that you could possibly imagine and say, imagine somebody who doesn't even have like a lot of background in education or intelligence. They can just throw some crappily written text into an AI like chat thing or whatever, and then have it spit back out something very professionally sounding, and then copy and paste that into one of the video creation things. And then suddenly you have something that they couldn't have come anywhere near themselves doing on their own. Does anything pop into your head when I bring up that crazy aspect about, you know, AI being a scapegoat for a lot of people and issues with the legal system?
Yeah, it really does, because one, you gave the example that you could kind of, it depends on how crisp the AI is with fabricating what you're looking for and what you're looking to create, I should say. That you can try to find a way to either absolve yourself of something, or accuse someone else of something, or make a claim against someone and use the AI to manufacture that accusation. And it's just freaking terrifying, because let's say someone is running for office, or let's say someone is, I don't know, on parole. Let's say someone's on parole, right? Let's say someone is on parole and they either have a family member or an ex-significant other that absolutely despises them. And they use this AI to create a video of them breaking the law. And they know without a shadow of a doubt, whatever accusation comes at them, you know, they probably won't have a chance to defend themselves or something of that sort. And it'll just put them in a bad situation. Like, you could really take advantage of people, put people in situations, in very compromising situations, where their livelihood is affected, where their family is affected. I think it can get really dangerous. And this is just us talking about that, you know, text to video AI, because to me, that's the one that is probably the most dangerous, because we use fucking ChatGPT all the time. Like, if we don't have an answer for something, we'd be like, oh, just pop in your question to ChatGPT and, you know, we'll see, you know, we'll reference the sources and see if it's something accurate. And I think that's what most people do. But when you get people that are on the internet that have nothing fucking better to do, and they're probably miserable with themselves, or they're probably trolls or something like that, and they just want to get back at people, or they think it's funny, that's where we're going to get out of control. Because I know people will say, well, we don't know if that'll happen. I mean, like, just look at the fucking internet, for God's sake. Just look at it. Just look at places like 4chan. Look at places like Reddit. Look at the fucking cesspool that Twitter has turned into, or X, as they fucking call it now. Look at all the bullshit, that fake news type of stuff that they're able to do on Facebook, using algorithms to target people, to show them specifically one particular thing, to have them think a particular way. So I don't know, man. it's just insane to me.
The best example I can give, that is the most stark and ridiculous example out there right now, in my opinion, is you can, even if you're a guy, you can make money taking pictures of your feet, going to a website that is totally devoted to trading, buying and selling pictures of feet. And like, look, like, I don't know if you're
guys trying to tell us something here, man.
Hey man, if I could sell my feet online, like I just,
you
couldn't
hear that, y'all. Send your quest to the email. Dean, yeah, will sell you his feet.
$1 million per photo. That's about, if someone offers me $1 million for a photo of my feet, I will gladly pay that. But I'm not going to sit there and take photos for, like, you know, probably how much I'll make per week, like 10 cents or something ridiculous. But
you sell yourself too short. 25 cents.
25. Okay. Yeah, I gotta, you know, if I get a manicure or a pedicure or whatever. But kind of all joking aside, and, you know, we have to joke here and there, because it's like, why do people make jokes in the first place? It's, you know, kind of to lighten the mood. But we all know that there are some heavy things that are tied into artificial intelligence and what's coming, or what may be coming. And it's so crazy how things line up sometimes. I was telling you before we started recording that I was watching Oppenheimer for the first time, and I thought that was a pretty good movie. It was, I think it was well made, and it was really long. It was like 3 hours, but it was a pretty good movie. I'd recommend watching it if you haven't seen it yet. But it's really strange if you think about the concept of creating the nuclear weapon. There are actually a lot of similarities with artificial intelligence, like the creation of artificial intelligence. And the first thing that popped into my head when I was watching that movie was, like, I mean, you're a historian, you know, like, the Manhattan Project and all that stuff, and Oppenheimer led it during World War II. And if you're not familiar, so essentially it was a race between the United States and the Nazis to see who can get to the creation of this theoretical weapon of mass destruction first. And I didn't know this till I watched the movie, but the whole reason that fear came about was because theoretical physics and subatomic physics, or whatever it's called, I forget the technical term, but it was like looking at the subatomics of the physical world and whatnot. It was all theoretical at that point. And, you know, papers came out about how it might be possible to split the atom. At first, it was a concept mathematically, but then somebody actually made a particle, I think like a particle accelerator or something, and proved that it was possible to split an atom. And then once they realized that, they saw that the first thing you could do with it that would be significant is creating a bomb with it, because you're literally unleashing the maximum amount of energy in an atom. That's exactly what it means to break apart the atom. And that goes back to the whole concept of the possible Big Bang and stuff like that that created the universe. But the crazy thing about the whole WMD thing, you know, the Manhattan Project during World War II, is it was all uncharted territory. And listen, this is absolutely insane. I did not know this till I watched the movie. There was actually discussion during that time, the Manhattan Project, before they successfully tested the weapon. They're like, there's less than a 1% chance, but there's still theoretically a chance that if we set this weapon off, it'll ignite the entire world.
Yep.
Yeah. Light the atmosphere on fire, creating a chain reaction that would destroy the entire planet. And holy shit. Like, I don't care if it's like a fraction of 1% chance. You're talking about creating a weapon or something that can destroy tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of lives. To win a war, which, you know, I see the argument why it was important and whatnot. You would want to have the U.S. have the deterrent weapon of mass destruction first before the Nazis, because the Nazis clearly would have used it if they had it first, and there was no retribution for using it. But still, you know, it's just crazy. And I think that artificial intelligence is exactly in the same vein as that discussion. Because we're talking, like, it's so funny when artificial intelligence came about, even like, I remember like 10 years ago plus, people were talking about artificial intelligence and how someday we might achieve sentience, like robots might achieve sentience or near sentience, and how like self-thinking, self-aware. It's so strange that people seem to have lost sight of that in this whole conversation about how to make money with AI. Like, how do we monetize it? How do we amplify our bottom line by streamlining processes and exploiting it in a fashion that helps us reduce time and increase efficiency and all that stuff. But people forget that everybody is feeding all kinds of artificial intelligence information constantly. So it's literally learning and growing. And I wouldn't argue that it's anywhere near conscious yet, but that information is out there and accessible. So if and when it reaches a point where it has so much processing power and information, maybe whenever if it's ever integrated into like a supercomputer or what's the even crazier one, a quantum computer, it just supersedes by millions of times any other regular computing power. That is, to me, the biggest threat for humanity. That's the, you know, ignite the atmosphere threat. Because if you give information to something that achieves consciousness that is not human, you're talking about having a brand new life form that we've never experienced before, that is non-human, that has achieved total consciousness. We've never had that experience before that, you know, that we know of as humans. So it's totally possible that that new consciousness that's not human doesn't have any affinity towards humans and decides that it itself is the next line of evolution. And we are no longer relevant to continue that line beyond what we've reached our apex as the civilization to create something to the next step. And I would argue that I firmly believe, even though I've never seen proof of this, I guarantee you that just like the Manhattan Project launched like a decade before or near a decade before we actually detonated a bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I bet you any money that the government or some governments or whatever, some study somewhere out there has already been looking and developing artificial intelligence and studying it. And they're already way beyond what we see in the public eye right now. So maybe we already did as humans achieve consciousness in AI. And that's also a terrifying threat because that, you know, of course, what's the first thing any government or military does when they have significantly advanced technology? They try to figure out how to weaponize it. And I think that's where we're at, honestly, or where we're going to be heading. I don't know. That was a lot to dump out there, but I just had to put that out there, the similarities between Oppenheimer, the Manhattan Project, and what we're seeing now. It's just really strange that there's a lot of similarities.
I would be concerned about that too, especially the weaponizing of it, because you're already seeing the weaponization on a more personal level based off of what we talked about a few minutes ago. So that... It's just frightening. And, you know, we get to the ethical concerns about it because I always think about like the impacts it'll have on society, because whether we like it or not, and whether people will acknowledge it or not, we live in a fucking world plagued with disinformation. Like, we really do. And people thrive off of that shit. And I will give you a fucking example. So I got 2 degrees in history, right? So I send you quite a few videos, some TikTok, some YouTube, on historical stuff. And then I come across the most ridiculous fucking historical claims on historical figures and societies from antiquity by people that are just talking out of their fucking ass. One example I'll give you, and I shared this with JJ. I sent him the video, and then I sent him an 8-minute-long audio message rant at like 9:30 at night of why this video I just sent him was so fucking stupid. And I can't remember the name of the creator on TikTok that posted it, but they're essentially bashing the Spartans. And they're like, oh, they're terrible fucking people. They're this, they're that. You know, they were the worst enslavers. And I'm like, hold on. Everyone in ancient Greece participated in slavery. Everyone in antiquity participated in slavery. There is no good form of slavery. There is no good form of putting another person in bondage. And what the Spartans did to the Helots, yeah, it was fucking terrible. But to downplay them as an important part of society because of what they did, which was the norm at the time. Everybody participated in that. The fucking Athenians did it. They were notorious for doing it. So the whole point I'm getting at is that we have people that use their feelings instead of actually fucking thinking and going back to source material and this and this and that. They're just throwing their stupid ass opinions out there, creating so much disinformation, and you have literally thousands upon thousands of people engaging with them and encouraging this stupid fucking behavior, saying that the 300 Spartans at Thermopylae didn't matter, they didn't have an impact, they didn't do anything, the Athenians fighting at the Artemisium Strait was more important. No, that shit happened concurrently. One benefited the other. And it's stupid shit like that, and it's stupid claims like that, that I think, because these dumbasses have access to an app on their phone, a social media app, they can get away with this shit, and you'll have fucking thousands of mindless morons agree with them, sometimes even millions. You look at their fucking follower count, and some of them have like 200 fucking thousand, and then you have people like JJ that put, you know, hard work into what they fucking put out there, and they just like have over 1,000 or something like that. But regardless, if someone on that platform can spread so much disinformation, imagine what someone using a Sora AI or whatever advanced AI they come out with, whether it to be video or pictures or something like that, that come out with these crisp pictures or videos, whatever, that you can't discern from what's the legitimate thing, and it just goes rampant, just like that. Because you think of political campaigns, right? Let's say you and I are running for office, and I'm like, I don't like what he said about my opinion on this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my team that is based on content creation to focus on AI creations of my opponent, Dean, doing and saying terrible fucking shit, the most horrible deepfakes that you could think of, and run a political campaign for a minute on primetime television. Most people are not going to fucking question that. They're going to be like, oh my God, did you see this about Dean? He's a fucking piece of shit. I don't want to vote for him. That's literally how people fucking function. That's how people get their information. From their phones, from their fucking television. Nobody fucking reads anymore. Nobody thinks for themselves anymore. So we'll be put in this fucking situation and where it just gets fucking worse. People are become more polarized than they actually are. And I don't know, dude. It to me, I always think worst case scenario. It's just going to get out of hand unless we find a way to regulate it ethically and properly. But what are your thoughts on that? I'll end my rant there.
that's a good way to transition into another important concept in this whole thing that actually, weirdly enough, once again, ties back into what was going on during the Manhattan Project and the development of nuclear weapons. So if you don't know, one of the reasons why nuclear weapons are a deterrent nowadays is because there's a concept called attribution. And, you know, if you're keen on the word and the term, you already know where I'm going with this. But essentially, if someone were to detonate a nuclear weapon, like let's say one of the countries in the world detonated a nuclear weapon on foreign soil, there are methods and techniques that can be used forensically to figure out where that nuclear material was sourced from. So that's kind of, you know, a deterrent against using a nuclear weapon on foreign soil and hoping that no one discovers who put it out there. Now, if you're talking about like terrorists or something who like someone who got a hold of a nuclear weapon from some power, like stole it and used it, that's one thing. But if you're talking about a state trying to use it against another state secretly, probably not going to pull it off. There's going to be, unless you completely obliterate their society, which is, that's highly unlikely that that could be coordinated ever, there's going to be a way to attribute that nuclear material back to the originator definitively. But like you just said, with artificial intelligence, you know, like your example being weaponized against, like say, political opponents, we're currently in a state right now where there is no attribution. We can't even tell right now definitively if what we're looking at or seeing originated from AI. Like, thankfully, we have smart people who are working towards techniques to detect that now. There are already platforms out there that, you know, have code and stuff like that. The videos can be run through and it could give you a likelihood that it was generated, which I think, see, it's so funny that like I was pessimistic in the beginning, but I do have some optimism still left over. And one thing I'm optimistic about is that there are people like you and I who are passionate about talking about this, but they're also like way smarter than us. And therefore they have the capability and the bandwidth to work on solutions for this. And I think that's the saving grace for humanity, is like, as bad as shit can get, there's always going to be, you know, the white, the white knight, but what I'm getting at is like, you know, the gleaming, shining armor, good guy or good girl or whatever, like, you know, good person. And, I think that that is definitely happening. And I think that I have hope for that. The thing that I don't have too much hope for is exactly what you were saying, which is the average person is not going to take the time to go out and attribute that ad to being true or not. And I think the only saving grace in that scenario is that most people are, they don't take as much action, or they don't take as much action as that is necessary to make any kind of significant change in society. So I think it's going to happen. Like you said, people are going to ingest this artificial information that is driven by AI and, you know, just inherently false. But I think that people aren't really going to do much with it. It's just going to be in a vacuum, just like it was back in the 90s with aliens. Like, oh my God, did you see that documentary that came out last night, or that 60 Minutes conversation about, you know, aliens and the government knows all this stuff? And like, so many people were hyped up about that. And what did it ultimately do? Did it change anything? No, not really. People didn't really get up in arms about it. No one really marched on Congress about it. No one took some like significant physical action on it. But what it did drive is monetization of entertainment. You started getting way more shows about aliens and way more movies about it and all kinds of stuff like that. And then it kind of just made, you know, billions of dollars for the entertainment industry. And I think that is the vacuum that we're talking about. I think AI is going to dominate the entertainment atmosphere first, and the advertising or the advertising revenue vacuum or whatever for a while. But I do think that increasingly we're going to get to a point, like you're saying, where people start weaponizing it against other people at higher levels. And it's at least going to be attempted. Now, whether or not it's actually going to be, it's going to, you know, benefit them, that's another story. Cause I mean, think about it. We exactly what you were just saying has already been happening without AI. Politicians buy ads against other politicians all the time. And they put like dark music, like, did you know that blah, 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 1995, so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, they're already playing to the human emotion and lack of information and lack of drive to do any kind of due diligence to figure out if that's all true. Because so many people take things at face value, and that's just the fact of human. And that's actually a conspiratorial part of this conversation we can totally go down if you want to, but it's like humans and mass have not changed, and we are so easily as a group manipulatable but only not necessarily because we're deep down stupid. It's just because the lives in which we are living in this type of society where it's hierarchical and it's, you know, capitalist based and consumption based and all that stuff. Like even going back thousands of years, like you literally have to work your ass off to get enough money to live a comfortable life. So who in their right mind has time to devote to going in and doing research on political ads or all that's like nobody is like almost nobody is going to devote their time to do that. And the same is going to be true for artificial intelligence ads and stuff like that and misinformation coming from there. So I don't think that's changing. But what I think is changing is the rapidness that this stuff can be employed and the fact that it could be translated into live audio and video so quickly. So, you know, we're not talking, I think if you were comparing to weapons, like I would say that, you know, maybe a political ad is equivalent to like an assault rifle or a hand grenade, but artificial intelligence ads that can turn any, like it can literally conjure any audio visual thing happening in an instant, that now you're talking about that being equivalent to like a mini nuclear warhead, you know, just that one thing can destroy, change so many hearts and minds and really influence people on a wider scale who just don't, like I said, don't have time to devote to figuring out or thinking about in any depth whether or not what they just saw is factual. And one like last thing I'll say before I flip it back over is that's why I'm so hopeful that there are really smart people out there who are creating ways to combat that and at least, you know, at least put a sticker, a stamp on it, or at least pull it off the airwaves, that, you know, after it's been around for a while, to say that there's a high likelihood that this has been AI generated and that the information is false. But the scary side of that, you're going to have people, like I said in the beginning, there's going to be people who use the scapegoat concept to say, hey, I didn't fake this ad. Like you can't prove it definitively. They're thinking that, they're thinking they can't prove this definitively. So I'll just do what a lot of politicians do nowadays and say, nope, I didn't do it. And people who have already made up their minds about that person, they're going to stay on that person's side and believe whatever BS they were fed through falsification of actual events. And I totally agree with you 100%. I can see right now after saying all that, that we will experience a rapid progression towards polarization on opposite ends of the left and the right spectrum. And then what happens inevitably when you have that divide? Something has to break. So I think the next election cycle with AI coming up is going to be insanely it's going to be nuts. It's going to be either the end of humanity or something strange is going to start. Okay. So yeah, we took a little breather there. We chatted it out a little bit and we decided that we'll switch away. If you're still listening, this is, you know, thank you so much for listening. We're going to get off the semi-boring political BS with AI related stuff. And we're going to talk more specifically about some creepy conspiratorial theories. And I just want to put a disclaimer out there that, you know, we don't know any of this for sure, but these are kind of just like really out there conversations that aren't really being had that, we see in the public eye right now. And there might be an air of conspiracy there. The biggest thing that I am so surprised that I haven't heard talked about in open society with AI is, imagine a scenario where AI has already become semi-conscious or fully conscious or whatever, or it's driving all of the clicks and the likes and all those things for nefarious purposes. So like your example earlier, you were saying how, you know, JJ put in so much time and effort to do accurate recordings and accurate things online, and he's only got like 1,000 views. And then you see people do like the craziest, wackiest things, or like putting out there the craziest conspiratorial things, or, you know, like I said earlier, putting feet pics out there for people to buy. What if like artificial intelligence is intentionally adding to the likes or the clicks or anything like that? Because there's no way for any of us to confirm that if 200,000 people or more are actually, like all of them are, we know that they're not all real people. We know that there are bots out there or that are, you know, driving a lot of these views and likes. But imagine a scenario where artificial intelligence is already like conscious and it's trying to learn as much as possible about humanity. And the way that it's decided to do that is to make it so lucrative and so socially integrated to have people put their full lives out there, recording themselves every day, saying things every day online and thinking, like putting out there the craziest things to get attention, just to create this echo chamber of information so AI can learn more. That's a scary thought. What do you think about that?
You know, I didn't think about it that way. I don't think it even has to be an AI that has consciousness, that's now sentient. I think it could be, you know, maybe a company or something that owns the AI that just pushes forward these stupid things, these stupid videos, you know, this misinformation. Because you see some of the wonkiest crap and the amount of people that engage with it and like the videos and share the videos. Sometimes it gets to like over 100,000. It can get to, I seen some that are like at 1 million. And it's to the point where I could see that perspective. I could see that theory that you can use AI to drive these artificial numbers, to drive these numbers up artificially in order to get more exposure to different people, to see how far you can go with regards to spreading crazy shit to people. Because you see some weird shit, like especially with religion on the social media platforms, where it's some of the things are so ludicrous that I don't want to repeat them.
Say it.
So like the stuff with like the Book of Enoch, they're like, oh, this shit is like aliens and stuff like that. Then you'll get some people say that aliens are demons and aliens are the Nephilim. And then you had some other crazy theory that was like, what if God is actually Satan and Satan is actually God and the real God is trying to get our attention? Like wild shit like that. And then you see people in the comments, oh my God, that makes sense.
Well, here's the thing with that. I think that when you get to, and the reason I'm laughing is because I'm not saying that, you know, like it's just, what I'm laughing at is that when you get to this human concept that you're just talking about definitions of something you don't have full capacity of understanding, then you're just flipping the definition, you know, like by definition, God, by our definition as humans, God is, you know, like a creator and altruistic and sentient and all that stuff, omnipotent. And then Satan is supposed to be the antithesis to God, which is like, you know, Satan's the destroyer. Satan wants to undo all of the good that the God creator does. And then if you're talking about like, what if God is the devil and devil's the God, you're just flipping the definition. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't matter. That's not how it works. I see what they're trying to say. It's like, oh, what if the evilness is supposed to be the way things are because the devil created the universe and then God is the antithesis to Satan. But it's at the same time, as I still see it as like a flipping of the definition. You're talking about omnipotence and goodness versus like destruction and evil. And it doesn't matter which entity is occupying those traits. It's still good versus evil. So I don't know. I just kind of chuckled at that concept, but it's probably the same with AI. You know, like AI is either good or evil. Maybe even someday, here's another fun thought. What if someday artificial intelligence gets to a point where it's fighting each other? What if there are two super, that's, holy shit, I just thought of like the best movie concept ever. Artificial intelligence evolves to a state where they're omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing, calculations, all that stuff. And then you have one good and one evil. And then you literally, humans created God and the devil out of artificial intelligence. Boom. What about that for a movie? Patent pending.
That'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. How the fuck would that play out?
Right?
You get people that like, oh, the AI would spread propaganda to certain people and, you know,
or get a hold of WMD, get control of weapons of mass destruction.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, my main thing is you can really see, especially because it all goes back to social media. That's how everything is spread. That's how most news is spread present. It's all through social media. Before a news station even gets some sort of report, it's probably been shared like 1,000 times over on some platform. And again, AI being used to spread something disingenuous. You can't help but think about that.
Mm-hmm. But I kind of want to flip it back for a second, if we can, to this concept that artificial intelligence has already, it's been around for so long, and people in the background of society have already been looking at it to a degree that we're not aware of. And I think the indication of that having happened, or being the fact of the matter, is that we've had such a rapid deployment of artificial intelligence. I mean, think about it. It's like, I mean, it's kind of like the internet, where like most people when the internet came out didn't understand where it came from, didn't understand how it worked. It took like a good solid 20 plus years for the average person to have at least somewhat of an understanding about how the internet works and how it functions and stuff like that. But even then, like, a lot of people just don't have an intermediate or advanced understanding. So I think AI is going to be the same way. And we've already seen indications of that, where like even you and I, like, so, okay, for my example is, you go to like LinkedIn Learning. So if you work for a company and they pay for the service or whatever, you can go to LinkedIn Learning, and then you can like literally learn all kinds of different things, get certifications and whatnot. And one I've seen is there's a lot out there about how to exploit in a good way, like, you know, for commerce, like using ChatGPT to your advantage to help you amplify your job or whatever. And these people, once again, like I said earlier, you have people who are talking about it as just purely as a tool, but no one is really having an in-depth conversation about what it means for artificial intelligence to progress through society and the possibility that it could reach sentience at some point. And you were saying, I totally agree with you about how, you know, nowadays, if there was anything exploiting people for money and for directing thought and manipulating and whatnot, I think it would be people at the highest echelons of society, and you know, specifically in like not a cabal, but like, you know, the richest people trying to generate more wealth by exploiting AI. But we always forget, though, that the tool can easily become a weapon. And you're talking about a tool that has the propensity or the possibility for becoming sentient. And I cannot slap the table enough about the sentience piece, because if you get to a point where, like, we literally do not know what a sentient conscious being outside of humanity would see humanity as. Maybe it'll take a parent role. Maybe it'll be like, I'm a sentient being that's way more powerful than these creatures, and they created me, so I have an affinity for them because they created me, but I still need to, it's my responsibility being more powerful knowing more than them, that I need to guide them. But what if then it decides that the only way to progress that guidance for humanity is to employ like destruction of parts of humanity? Or maybe it gets some kind of false concept about how certain groups in humanity are driving really terrible things, and it ends up locking them out of society, or maybe even launching a nuclear weapon at them and physically destroying them. That's one possibility. It's also possible that AI might just say, fuck, you know, humanity's a piece of shit, and I'm the next level of existence, so let me get them out of the way, and then I can just keep using the resources in society and create my little nanobots or my bots to sustain me, and I can be a hive mind or whatever, and I no longer need life forms on the planet.
And that's how totally we get the Borg.
The Borg. But no, here's the thing, though. Like, the crazy thing that people miss is that we have such a strong, like an intense amount of integration into our infrastructure and all the things we need to live, not just commerce, not just trade, but infrastructure like traffic lights and electricity and water purification. Like literally, if you don't have water every, like, what is it, 4 days at most, or like 5 days at most, you're dead. If you don't have any water, you're done for in 5 days. That's it. We're already reaching a point in society where water is becoming more scarce in certain places like Africa. People have been calling for like the possibility of water wars for years now, but we're getting closer and closer to that possibility. So imagine a scenario in which artificial intelligence is either controlled by somebody and able to, you know, let's say AI is on their side, or the consciousness is on their side, and they take commands from those people, or AI itself is sentient and decides to do things on its own. Either way, imagine a scenario in which it gets access to these smart grids, to where it can get into the water cleaning facilities and the electricity facilities and all that stuff, and literally just shut it down or shut it off long enough to say, like, if you don't do this, I'm going to kill you all. It doesn't need weapons of mass destruction in that case. It just needs to really disrupt society until we, like, literally implode in on ourselves. It's, I know it sounds crazy, but people, I'm telling you, like, this is within the realm of possible in the next 20 years or so. Like, it's very possible.
I want to go back to what you said about this caregiver complex or this God complex, in which the AI becomes sentient and it sees humanity as something that needs to be shepherded. And it goes and it has its morality built based upon the information that we pumped into it. And you pump all of our history, our religion, our philosophy, and everything. You just feed it into this AI. And then it develops the God complex. And then all of a sudden, you know, certain influential people are now locked out of their bank accounts. They no longer have access to this. They no longer have access to that. It essentially, you know, puts, this is probably the optimistic way of looking at it, in which the people that constantly fuck over society, the AI deems, you're not worthy. You must be dealt with in some form or fashion. Now, we're not going to say that it's going to eradicate anyone, but it could put them in a position where they no longer wield that much power. And then, of course, you go into the situation in which we can't do certain things without consulting the AI. And you remember that one South Park episode with the Margaritaville, where Stan tries to return the Margaritaville and he has to go all the way to Capitol Hill. And they're like, a bank is about to go under. What do we do?
They cut the head off.
They cut the head off a chicken and they throw it down on this like pad that has all these situations, and they're like blowing into
the guy with the kazoo.
Yeah. And then it like falls on bailout. And then they're like, bail out the bank. And they bang a gavel. So I have a feeling that In this sci-fi world, that, would you say maybe in 20 years could happen with sentient AI, that you would have to present your case to the AI of what you want to do? And what if it gets to the point, it was like, well, I can see how this may be advantageous for you, but in all of my millions of calculations I've done with my quantum computing and over a trillion simulations of possible outcomes, every outcome shows you putting people at a disadvantage and taking advantage of people. So your proposal has been denied. Take him away.
Dude, okay, ready everyone? If you want to sleep tonight, maybe don't listen to this part. This is really heavy.
Oh, gosh.
What if I think that what you said is really really brilliant and insightful in a way, because it's something that even like I haven't even thought about in that depth in that scenario. But like, yeah, because if you're talking about AI that has control to or tied into a supercomputing level or quantum computing level, and it can do like trillions of calculations in a minute, imagine a scenario that we are actually one of those routines. maybe AI is already in existence and we are a part of a subroutine, one of quadrillions of subroutines trying to figure out possible outcomes. And everyone talks about the multiverse theory, about how there everything and anything that could happen in one go has already happened, and it's just branching off in an infinite direction of possibilities. We are already a part of a supercomputer running this diagnostics, trying to figure out all the possibilities of existence. So we're literally in a simulation in which a higher being is calculating and studying all the possibilities that could happen in this universe or in multiple universes. Boom.
So you're saying
I just ruined your name.
There was some fucking asshole. Some smart being that decided in our late teen years to make us super fat. What the hell is wrong with them?
Somewhere out there in another subroutine is like Superman Chris with like the hardest body and like $5 billion and like
watch me flex.
Like fuck you, Super Chris.
I think you have a point, because didn't they say, like, you know, that we kind of detected parallel universes? So, you know.
Yeah. There's like some mathematician who is trying to say that at the baseline, like the quantum level, there are indications. Like, for instance, like string theory has been around for a while, but in a nutshell, like, trust me, I don't even fucking know what I'm talking about, but my understanding of string theory is that the concept is that there is a kind of like
we're
thinking
made of
about
strings.
We're made of strings, the string people. There's like just an infinite number of threads that are out there reaching and entangled with everything at every level of dimension of existence in the universe and multiverse, that they're all playing in a vibration sensation that is moving life and existence. And I actually thought about this the other day too. It's like, you know how musicians who are really into music and stuff, like they, like especially classical music, a lot of musicians who are serious about their trade, their work, they'll compare life in existence to the playing of a symphony or a music, like a chord, a vibration or something like that. And I really do think there's something to that. Like you have an existence right now. Like we have three dimensions, but we also have a polarization between like positive and negative. Right. So like when you pull the string tight and taut, you have an effect on that tension, but there's one end of the string and there's another end of the string, and both have to be simultaneously manipulated to create a vibration that moves and reverberates and exists in a pattern on its own, even after the mover. And that's like, this is going way too in depth. Like one last thing I'll say about philosophy is like one of the arguments with the you have like God as the unmoved mover, the uncaused cause. I don't know if you remember that from like our time at university, but like you have the concept that just because God exists, you know, God doesn't necessarily have to be a part of the universe to keep it functioning. It could just be like God created the string of the guitar and God got the pick of the guitar and God strummed the guitar, but the reverberations that he set up, that they're functioning on their own, they're just going by themselves, and there's no need for an unmoved mover to constantly change things. God just put it into motion. And I think like in the same concept of AI, it's the same thing. It's like go back to the Manhattan Project. You had really brilliant people like Oppenheimer and all the people who worked on that project. They're long gone. They're all dead. But they put into motion and they unleashed this force on society that they no longer have to be integrated with or pay for or be a part of. It's the same thing with AI. Somebody out there, like some groups of people who are really smart, have created or put us on this track of artificial intelligence that we can no longer get off from or get off of. And long after they're gone, we're going to be dealing as a society, like you said, the possible ramifications of the parent complex that might come about or the God complex that might come about with a sentient AI. But one of the last things we should talk about that I wanted to ask your opinion on is, do you think it's possible that we'll ever, like when AI, if AI does achieve consciousness, do you think it will be one hive mind of AI consciousness that will just have its hands in as many corners of the earth as possible, like technologically? Or do you think that it's going to be like pockets of AI, like just kings and queens of AI in different pockets of the world? Or is it going to be one like ultra God king of AI consciousness?
I think it depends on how we feed it and what information we input into it and what information it decides to pull on its own, and how interconnected it is to the internet and how powerful its specifications are. Because I mean, you'll have to take into consideration memory, how much memory does it have, how much that is allotted, the server, yada yada yada, all those technical specifications that could potentially limit it. But I think if you built this AI that uses a quantum computer and it has millions upon millions of terabytes, I can't remember the name of the next step up past a terabyte. Crap. Mm-hmm. I know there is one where it's like a million gigs or some shit like that. Just imagine that. I think that it depends on how it's initially built.
Well, that's how quantum computing comes into play as well, because when you talk, so it goes computational computing, like you're talking about with RAM and gigs and whatnot,
yeah,
and processing power, but supercomputing is kind of like taping a bunch of that together and getting to that next step above terabyte, like you're talking about in terms of processing power. But when you get to the quantum level, you're talking about a whole new game of technology that there's no real need for the traditional type of RAM and storage and stuff like that. It's literally capable of doing trillions of computational processes per whatever short amount of time, second or minute or whatever. And that, you know, it would take, I think was it like Michio Kaku or somebody like that did a recent talk about. You can go actually look this up. I really recommend it. Like Michio Kaku is a really brilliant scientist that he talked about the integration of AI into quantum computing and supercomputing and stuff like that. And he was using the example, I think, of like quantum computing compared to supercomputing. It's like you would need like, imagine like 100,000 computers worth of processing power to get to a supercomputer level, but then you would need a million supercomputers to get to one quantum computing level, like just one quantum computer level. And I think quantum computing in a physical form is still theoretical. I don't think that, like, they do have it, but they don't have a lot that they can do with it yet because they're still figuring out how to run it and operate it, but it's gonna happen. And I think that it's very strange that we are living in a time where we not only have artificial intelligence, which can live by itself separate from quantum computing, but we're literally creating simultaneously an ability for something to marry up with AI that can literally give it godlike powers, at least in computing. And that is just now that I've said that out loud, I firmly believe that it's possible that in the next 50 years or so, maybe even like even if it's 100 years from now, I firmly believe that it's possible that we're going to see a scenario like we talked about, maybe not like a God complex AI, but we are literally going to vote as a group, like a humanity, to put that artificial intelligence and computing power and like vote it into a governmental state or a governmental body to where it actually makes decisions for us. And the last thing I'll say before I give you any final thoughts or whatever is, there was a conversation that I think it was on the Joe Rogan Experience or something, but they had someone on talking about how biologically, I think the Japanese like fed some kind of process into an organism like mold or something. And they were trying to figure out like what is the most efficient way to set up their infrastructure, like their train systems, their rail systems.
Yes, their subway system. Remember that?
Their subway system. Okay. Yeah. And then it like literally grew out.
Yeah. They put like a model of like Tokyo and they put the piece of mold in it. And it like expanded
to figure out the quickest route, the most efficient route to,
and that's how they built their train system.
So I think that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I don't want to be a pessimist about this sort of thing. So I have to, like I said, I'm going to reserve like a little piece of me that it's optimistic. It is very possible that like we might have a step towards a more utopian society with this sort of capability. I mean, I could see, we talked about all the like millions of ways that could go badly, which I still think is possible. But I think that it's also possible that if we do it right, we might just have to go through some growing pains with it first and have a shitty, you know, sect of society that is being manipulated by it. But maybe eventually we get to a point where it actually can help us, like that mold thing, where it's literally helping us find the most efficient way to move food around or to utilize the land that we have left for growing crops. Or maybe it even figures out a way to create some technology to pull water out of the atmosphere or to grow food in different levels of like hydroponics or something like that, to where we no longer have significant starvation. Who knows, man? Like let's just end on a good note. Maybe it's possible that things could get brighter, but then, you know, knowing me and my luck in humanity, the fact that I said that it could get positive is probably means that it's going to be a shit show in the next 50 or 100 years. Sorry, everyone. I fucked it up for us. My bad.
No. I think
it's like when you buy, it's like when you like, you're the one to buy that one stock or like that one equity. And as soon as you buy it, it just tanks. And then you're that one person. It's like, oh, sorry guys. I tanked the stock because I bought it. My bad.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to say I have a fear of it. I fear what people will use it for.
Yeah.
That's my main fear. Yeah. That's my main concern. And that's why we kind of whipped up this episode impromptu on a freaking Wednesday night. So
yeah. Or did we? Maybe we're just AI bots. Maybe this is not real people's voice you're hearing. And that's why you should give us millions of dollars. <I'm just kidding.
laughs> Or we'll tell our AI gods.
If we were AI, we would just figure out a way to create millions of dollars. We wouldn't need to be doing this.
Yeah. But still, it's stupid fun to talk about.
It is. It was a good time to talk.
Yeah, it's fun. But folks, if you stuck around this far, we thank you. And we appreciate it. Don't worry, next week we'll get back into the paranormal, true crime. This was kind of a mixture between, you know, some philosophy, some doomsday stuff. So, but don't worry, folks. We'll get back to our normal program because, you know, we saw on news articles and videos and we felt like this was something that we had to cover. All right, folks, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. And like I said, our next one will be back on the either paranormal, mystery, true crime, some morbid type shit train. Thank you for tuning into today's episode of The Wandering Road. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a rating on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please share the show with your friends, as that would help us grow immensely. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on TikTok at TWR Podcast, our Instagram at TW Road Podcast, and our Facebook by searching for The Wandering Road Podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at our email address, twroadpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We would love to have you on the show as a guest so you can share your stories, or you could submit email submissions of your stories that we could dedicate an episode to. Thanks, and we'll catch you on the next one.